Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Yesterday morning in prayer meeting, Steve McNeely was mentioning the persecution going on in the church today, really throughout the world, and he made a statement that really I had not heard. I'm a little loud, and I'm hearing a little ring. Maybe turn it down just a tad. That'd be great. And the comment was that right now Christians are experiencing the greatest time of persecution in church history. Now, some of you are responding the way I did, like, huh? Now, why do we respond that way? Because we're not seeing it. We're not seeing it. But across the ocean in foreign countries, it's going on all over the place, and they are killing Christians by the thousands. And they're just not reporting on it, but we just don't know it. But it's happening. By the way, lest you get too comfortable, the same people who are doing that overseas would do it here today if they had the power to do it. And they don't have the power to do it, and we thank the Lord for that. But there will come a day, probably they will. So great person going. People are killing Christians. They are refusing to bow their knee to God's authority. After prayer meeting, I went to breakfast with the men, and they were talking about people they have witnessed to, some who would not even allow them to witness to them, others who, when they witnessed to them, they rejected the gospel. And again, we heard about people who refused to bow the knee to God's authority. Now, there's going to come a day, folks, and we're going to see this in our study in Philippians chapter 2, that every knee shall bow. The rebellion against God will be over. And we're going to see that in this passage. Now, there's going to be a day when the Lord is going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and He's going to rule and He's going to reign. And we're going to see that at the end of this passage. I want to spend a little more time reviewing than I typically do because, one, we missed a Sunday. And if you're like me, it's like, what happened 2 weeks ago? And then, two, we have a lot of folks that are not typically in here. And so I do want to spend a little more time reviewing what we have seen so far in Philippians chapter 2. And there are five major points. And we saw, number one, that Christ abandoned his sovereign position. And we saw that in verse number 6. Who, being in the form of God, what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ is God, okay? But he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not think it was something to be grasped, something he had to hold on to. And so he laid aside that. He left heaven's glory. He laid aside some of his own glory, and he came to this world. He abandoned his sovereign position. Secondly, we saw that he accepted a slave's place. And this is amazing to think about. Although at that time he was not seated on the throne, he is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he came into this world not as a king, not as the Lord. He came as a servant. And he laid aside his kingly position to be a servant. By the way, he did that for you and for me. And then third, we saw that he appeared as a person. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He became a man. And this allowed him to really do the next point, which is to die for us. But not only did he take the form of a man, but he looked like a man. He was, in all categories, a man. He was the God-man. And we saw how important that was. Why is that important? Help me here, if you can remember a couple weeks ago. Now, this is actually, we're reviewing last year, but it was a long time ago. Why was it so important that he become a man? So he could relate to our sufferings. And I've heard that truth. I've known that truth. But as we taught that, what a consolation to the soul. That when you go to God, Tom, God can say, Tom, I understand. As God, could he understand? No, but as man, he can understand. And God could say, Jesus Christ, the Lord, could say to Tom, I've been there. I understand that. What a consolation. And not only that, but as God, he has the ability not only to understand as man, but as God, he can help. And I just want to camp there for a minute this morning, because I don't know what you're going through. Undoubtedly, there are people here who are going through great trials. And I want to remind you that Jesus Christ, Christ became Jesus Christ, the man, the God-man, so that he could understand you and intercede for you and help you. And it doesn't matter what you're going through today, Jesus Christ, the Lord, understands. And he is able to help you. He's able to minister to you. And then fourthly, we saw he accepted punishment for the sin of all mankind. You see that in the passage. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So humble, humble, humble. All this humbling that took place. And then we started this final point a couple weeks ago. He ascended a supreme prince. And we saw that in verse 9 through 11. Or we're seeing that. And it says, wherefore. Now, why is that word therefore? Why is wherefore therefore? You got that? Speaking in tongues here. All right. What have we talked about? His humiliation. And because of his humiliation, what do we now see? His exaltation. And I want to remind you, and we spent time here, but this is a principle of this is the principle of exaltation. This is the principle. Before exaltation must come humiliation. Which one is your responsibility? Exaltation or humiliation? You say, it's my responsibility to humble all these people, right? No, that's what I'm talking about. No. Our job is to be humble. How many of you find that to be easy? Doesn't come naturally, does it? But aren't you glad for the great verses in the Word of God? If you will humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, then he will lift you up. It is his responsibility to do the exaltation, not ours. We all want to exalt ourselves. Hey, did you hear about how good I am? Just wanted you to know. That's why I should be on Facebook. There it is. I could tell everybody. If I told them over and over and over again, maybe they'd start believing it. Okay? That's exactly right. Amen. You were here. You remembered very well, fellow horn player. And we saw in 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And by the way, I did not mention this several weeks ago when we talked about this. But in those verses, it said, if you will humble yourself, God will exalt you. But what does it say if you exalt yourself? What is your position with God? What is God's position concerning the proud? He resists the proud. Yes, amen. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that what you want? Does anybody here want God resisting you? So, there's the principle of exaltation. Let's move on to the process of the exaltation of Christ. And again, I've been here, and I'm just going to quickly move through this. But how was Christ restored? What were the steps that Christ went through to be restored to his exalted position at the right hand of God? At the end of the humiliation, where is he? In the grave. All right, so what had to happen? Number one, you had to have the resurrection. Number two, you had to have the ascension. And number three, you had the exaltation, or he was on the throne. We would call that the coronation. There you go, from the cornet player. Very good. The coronation, all right. And that placed Christ on the throne. He is Lord of Lords. And again, we saw, I'd never seen that before, how in the Gospels he is never called the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't happen until the book of Acts. What happens at the beginning of the book of Acts? The ascension. the coronation. And at that point, he is seated at the throne of God. He is now Lord of lords. And by the way, in this passage, it says, and let's read a little bit in verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." What is that name? Be careful. If you were here, you know. Lord. That's exactly right. What's the name of exaltation? Not Jesus. That's the name of humiliation. That's his earthly name. Ah, he had a new name, and that name is Lord, Master, Ruler, and he is Jehovah, the sovereign ruler. Now, hold your place in Philippians 2. Now, this is where we stopped last time, so that's all review. So we move through that quickly. But I want you to look in Revelation 19. Revelation 19 is toward the end of the tribulation. I remember years ago, Preacher Lastly preached a message in Revelation 19 called the Four Hallelujahs. A great message. And you come to this passage, you look in verse 11, and this is the second coming of Christ. "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white, fine linen, white and clean." By the way, who is that? Us. Very good. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should," notice, "rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And the process will be complete. He will rule and he will reign. Now, some new stuff. Here we go. We're talking about the exaltation of Christ. We've seen the principles, the process. Thirdly, the product. The product of exaltation. And you find it in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, by the way, it's not at the name Jesus, the name of Jesus, and that name is Lord, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let me give you a couple things, the products of exaltation. Number one, universal submission. Universal submission. People will submit to him because of his new name, and the new name is Lord, Master, Ruler. When one is truly Lord, then everyone submits to that one as the ruler. By the way, he's the master right now. He is Lord right now. People say, you need to make him Lord of your life. Now, what's the problem with that statement? He's already Lord, okay? He's already Lord. He's already Lord of your life. Now, you can refuse that lordship. I mean, you can disobey. And by the way, anytime we disobey the Lord, what are we saying? You're not my Lord. I can do what I want to do. So I understand why we say it. But really, right now, he is Lord. Now, we have a right to submit voluntarily now. There's going to come a day when that voluntary submission will no longer be voluntary. And every person is going to bow. And I like that word. Why? Now, we don't do it a whole lot now. Why did they bow? Why did they go to the knee? What does this mean? Submission. Submission. Get back up now. Submission. That's what it means. The servant would bow to the master. The citizen would bow to the king. The conquered would bow to the conqueror. And in that day, everyone's going to bow. Now, today, there are many believers that are bowed. There are many folks who have received Christ. They have bowed to him. They have make him Lord. I hope you have. I hope you're a believer today. And part of that, I believe, is allowing him to be Lord of your life and to rule and reign in everything in your life. There are many who refuse to bow. They reject the existence of God. Isn't that amazing? People, I don't believe God exists. They won't bow. They reject the authority of God. They shake their fists in defiance against God. They've thrown the Bible and prayer out of the schools. Why? They're rebelling against God. They've torn down the displays of the Ten Commandments and have called them Ted Turner, the Ten Suggestions. Isn't that nice? They're persecuting and they're killing those who bow to the Lord. They flaunt their rebellion with all kinds of wicked acts. And the Lord has allowed that to be. He's allowed that to be. But folks, there's coming a day when that's all going to end. It's all going to end. And they will be forced to bow their knee in submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the choir sings the song, "All Shall Bow." And that is true. Now notice how he shows us who's going to do it. Every knee should bow of things in heaven. Now, who would that be? Now, this is normal, I think. I mean, I'm not really surprised at this because these people have voluntarily bowed. Who's in heaven? Angels? What kind of angels? We know there's several. Kind of angels? Come on. I heard over here. Seraphim? Remember those guys? Cherubim? There you go. We got both of them. There you go. We got archangels. There's a great host of angels. There's 10,000 times 10,000. Now, that makes sense to me that they're going to bow. There's somebody else in heaven. All the what? All the redeemed in heaven today. My mom. Many of you have your mom. Many of us have relatives. They're already bowing the knee. But then notice it says, not only in heaven, but also all things in earth. Now again, the saved are doing it now. Should be doing it now. I remind you in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And we need to be careful. I'm not teaching lordship salvation, that you have to make him Lord of your life to be saved. He has to be in control of everything. But I do think sometimes we're missing it, and I want to be careful. There's a fine line here. But if someone says, oh, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to give up my sin, I don't think that person is saved. I don't think they've gotten... If they say, I want to receive Christ, I want to go to heaven, but I want to keep smoking pot and living adulterously, and I don't want to change my life, we got a problem. We got a problem. And I'm afraid that's kind of what we're seeing some today. We got to be careful. And again, I'm trying to be careful here because there's a fine line where people... Yeah, when you get saved, okay, you've got to quit all your sin and never sin again. Well, no, obviously not. No, we're not teaching that. But we are saying it's more than just saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. There must be a sorrow for sin, a desire to change. And if that's not there, we got problems. Sure. Sure. Now, he's saying on earth, everybody on earth is going to bow. And again, I say to you, and I say to me, we do that at salvation, but shouldn't it be done on a daily basis? On a daily basis, we just say, okay, Lord, here I am. You're Lord of my life. Lord, today I bow to you, to your will. I will do whatever you want me to do. Don't you think? Now, there's going to come a day when they're all going to do that. By the way, I skipped Revelation 4. Can we go back to that real quickly? When I'm talking about all those in heaven and what they're doing. Now, Revelation 4 is the beginning of the tribulation. So I understand the context. But John is caught up into heaven. And I want you to see what they're doing in heaven right now. Okay? And after this verse 1, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne. Oh, I love that, by the way. You know what that's talking about? You know what that rainbow is? God's glory, but also his. What does the rainbow tell you about? God's faithfulness. And you notice it's not a half a rainbow here, it's a whole rainbow all about that. I'm on a rabbit trail, but that excites me there. The faithfulness of God. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion and so forth. But look what they're saying in verse 8. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him. Ah, there's that falling down. They're bowing down. They sat on the throne and they worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Wow, what a scene. What a scene. Hey, if you've got a loved one in heaven, guess what? That's what they're doing today. They're bowing down and worshiping the Lamb. Wow. But it says those on earth too, and every unbeliever, they may shake their fist in rebellion against God now, but there's going to come a day when that's no longer true. In Romans chapter 14, 11, it says, as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every knee shall bow. Every knee. Every unbeliever. Every believer. But notice back in Philippians, it says that at that time, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth. Notice the last one, things under the earth. Now, what's that? Who's that? Satan. Who else? All the demons. By the way, be careful, that's not Siemens, that's demons. That's very important that you get that right letter there, okay? Think about this, folks. There's going to be a day when every demon who has rebelled against God, every angel that rebelled against God will bow. They will bow. But who else? All the ones that rejected Christ in this life, who said, I refuse to bow, and that day they will bow. Everyone under the earth, they're going to bow. Now, he is Lord today. By the way, the early church, you know one of the greetings? They would greet each other with, he is Lord. He is Lord. Now, they had other greetings too, but he is Lord. I like that. You know, you think about that. The majority of people today are refusing to proclaim him as Lord. The majority. And today is a day of grace. They have that right. We have that right. It's going to come a day when that right is no longer there. And everyone and everything will confess him. They'll be forced to confess he is Lord. Think of that. Every holy angel will say, he is Lord. The redeemed of all mankind, what are they going to say? He is Lord. The devil will say, he is Lord. The demons who are damned to eternal torment will say, he is Lord. And all the Christ rejectors in hell will say, he is Lord. By the way, that knowledge ought to spur us to action. Should it not? We need to do all we can now to make sure that as many people will bow now and not then. I hadn't planned on mentioning this. This is personal. My uncle, who was a Christ rejecter, unless something happened in his final hours, is in hell today. did not believe in God, or he didn't. I think he was probably more an agnostic than an atheist. And for years, my dad tried to reach him. Wouldn't bow to me. There's going to come a day when he will. But it's too late. It's too late. This is why the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. There will come a day when a Christ rejecter will bow, but at that point it's too late. And they will suffer for all eternity in a place called hell. What are we doing to make sure our friends and our relatives and our neighbors bow now instead of being forced to bow later on? You see how serious this matter is, folks? We want our church to grow. We want to reach more people. What's the key to that? The key to that starts with me reaching people for Christ. The key to that goes to Larry Gallion, to reaching people for Christ. And Diana Gallion, reaching people for Christ. And I could go around the room, and the way to reach the world is for every believer in this room to reach someone for Christ. Just think about this. What would happen if every one of us reached one person this year and discipled them and got them in church? Now, Mr. Martin is our faithful math teacher here. We're down a little bit today. We probably have about 70. Let's say 75 here this morning. Mr. Martin, if every one of us reached one and we discipled them, take your calculator out. Write it down. How many would we have? 150. And that's the neat thing. You know, when a new family is reached and they come to church, guess what? You open up a whole new family. This is what God wants us to do, folks. Now, there'll be universal submission, finally. Unending glory to the Father. Unending glory. You see that in the passage? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here it is. To the glory of God the Father. What is the purpose of everything? To glorify God. The heavens were created in a specific way to do what? Declare the glory of God. When God created Adam and Eve, they were created perfectly in His image. So when you saw Adam and Eve, you saw God. When you were in the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect reflection of God. And then, of course, the fall. And what happened at the fall? Man's image, which was made in the image of God, was marred. Creation was marred. That's why I have to fight Bermuda grass every year. Now, some of you think Bermuda grass is a good thing, but it's really a part of the curse. They didn't have it in the Garden of Eden. I can prove that from the Bible. But there's going to come a day when all is in submission to Christ. Oh, by the way, when you got saved, why did God save you? Now be careful to bring Him glory. And we are to be changed into His image. We've often said the Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make you like the Son of God. What's that whole thing? To restore the image of God that was marred at the fall so that you will glorify God with your life. That's the whole purpose of it. You didn't get saved just so you'd go to heaven. Now that's a byproduct. You got saved so you could be restored to the image of Christ. That's what God wants to do in your life. So the purpose of everything is to glorify God. So everything is going to come in submission to Christ. Christ the Lord will have his rightful position. And who gets all the glory? He does. Now, I struggle with understanding the Trinity, obviously, as probably you do too. But in this passage, it says God the Father receives all the glory. And for all eternity, he is glorified. By the way, isn't it a neat thought? When you die as a believer, it says we put off this, you may know the word, the description of this body? Corruption, yeah, there's a vile, there it is. Isn't that a great word? You feel that? I mean, can you say amen? This vile, and I like that better than corruption. You know, yeah, you could say corruption, but vile. You put off this vile body and you get a glorified body. Yes, yes, for sure. It stinks, doesn't it? And it all, in the end, as we declare the lordship of Christ, God the Father gets all the glory for all eternity. Now, one final passage, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell, before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Wow, what a scene. What a scene. The final exaltation of Christ as Lord. Now, how do we conclude our study of Philippians 2? First of all, what's the primary purpose of the passage? The primary purpose of the passage. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And really the reason for this passage is so we know what the mind of Christ is. So we remember how Christ humbled himself, and he humbled himself, and he humbled himself, and he humbled himself. And that is the mind of Christ that we ought to have. But secondly, I think we need to purposely allow the Lord to rule and reign in our lives. Think how our lives would change if we would bow the knee to the Lord in every area of our lives. Think about it. Are there some areas in your life right now that you'd say, Gary, I'm standing, and you don't maybe see it this way, but if we're in rebellion, what are we doing? We're standing in defiance of God. If we're disobeying God in any area, what are we doing? We're saying, I won't bow. I won't bow. I'm not going to bow the knee. This week, let me challenge you. Every day, say, today, I'm going to allow you to be Lord of my life today. Lord, whatever you tell me to do, you're Lord. Your master, your ruler, I will do it. I will do it. I tell you what, folks, our lives would change dramatically. Dramatically. And I encourage you, if there's an area of your life that you find yourself in defiance against the Lord, today, get with the Lord, confess it, and bow the knee. Say, Lord, rule, reign. Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful passage. What a joy it has been to study it over this last several months. thank you for humbling yourself for us. And we thank you that you are exalted today. And God, help us to exalt you in our lives. Oh, that you could be Lord of our lives. Lord, help us to allow you to rule and to reign in every area of our lives. Truly, Lord, help us to submit to your lordship today and tomorrow and the next day. We pray in Jesus' name.